Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
All right, Thatch, today's the day we're recording the podcast. We've got a special guest on. We've got all our ducks in a row. We've been looking up the news. We've been searching. We're everything's set to go.
No. Sublime just canceled on us.
Aww.
Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show where the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Trigger Dash,
and your co-host,
Larry Pat.
Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh, yeah.
Pucko!
And welcome to the 187th episode of the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here with my co-host...
Gator. Gumi.
Yay, you said your name.
Is that what I'm going to be called today? Gumi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we say, and here, welcome to the Pucko Podcast. We are a Pokemon show about the trading card game, the video game, pretty much everything in the fandom. For those of you who haven't listened to us before, that's what we are. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. I hope you don't look too much into it.
Whoa, okay. I'm going to pause right here in our usual conversation, Thatch. Yeah. I've been listening to you call this a nonsensical name. We are an underground Champions League, okay? I don't know if you haven't been invited to the meetings, but we've been fighting.
What are you fighting against?
Team Rocket.
Duh.
We've been training, but the first rule of Pokemon Underground Champions League is you don't talk about Pokemon Underground Champions League.
Except like 187 other times.
And the 187 other times. But that's fine. It's consistent.
Now, if you listen back to like the first episode, we talk about it as if it's some sort of like cult.
And it like, is some sort of like cult.
Like, we're talking about sacrificing chickens, and yeah, it's something that nobody should ever listen to again.
I feel like as a casual listener of the show, it has become a bit of a cult.
That's true. We praise Whimsicott and we roast Thatch, so.
That's true. I just remembered Whimsicott's Charizard's name, and it
In
makes
Soviet
me
Russia, Thatch roasts you.
It's called Soviet Thatch. But yeah, the question that I begin every show with, what have you guys been up to in Pokemon lately?
As for myself, I sat there on Thursday night alone.
That's so sad.
That was my gym time. You guys need to come fight me. I welcome all challengers.
Yeah, right?
The only two people who have my badge right now are myself and Justin.
Seriously, nobody's come to challenge you?
Nobody has come to challenge me during my gym time. Justin won the badge during somebody else's gym time.
Really?
And his team won. I'm running the Dragon Gym. He's running the Fairy Gym.
Oh, of course.
I did get him to like 3-0, but it wasn't of W for me. So come challenge me. Come fight me. I dare you.
Yeah, I mean...
Thursday night, 8 to 10, Eastern.
I've noticed that... So Misty and I have back-to-back times. And a lot more people show up to her time than to my time. It's very interesting. And like, it's people who haven't earned my badge yet.
Thatch, I have a conspiracy theory.
Yeah?
I think you're just there for both times.
No, that's not true. I promise.
I feel like you are secretly Misty.
She kicks me off the computer and will do it herself. Like, no joke.
I don't think there is a Misty Thatch.
You don't think so? Even though she's definitely been on the show before.
I've heard a voice that you attributed to somebody named Misty. You've yet to provide any solid proof of her existence.
No, I did. UTC video.
That you took a video of a stranger, and all know that was just Scrawn in a wig.
It was Scrawn. I haven't met Scrawn yet. I'm pretty excited. I get to meet Scrawn actually, like, in person in like 2 weeks.
That's the best news I've heard all week.
It's actually true. For those of you who don't know, Pokemon Nationals in the U.S. is happening next week. And a bunch of us from Puckle are going. Like, a bunch of people are showing up. We've got hotel rooms in the same place. We're calling it PuckleCon.
That's pretty sweet.
So if you guys are going to the U.S. Nationals next in 2 weeks, I guess it is, let us know. We'll be there. We can hang out. We can go get a root beer, something, or real beer.
Go get a Moo Moo Milk.
Yeah, Moo Moo Milk.
Drink some green Tauros. It'll be great.
I mean, it's been a while since I've been in Indianapolis. I think it's actually literally been like 4 years. I think the last time I went to Indianapolis is when I went to the 2011 National Championships. Where I recorded video and then never posted it.
Nice.
It was horrible.
Lost video confirmed.
I think I still have it somewhere.
We're going to find it, edit it, throw some special effects on it, and it's going to be PuckleCon video stock footage.
I'm gonna take a lot of video when I'm at PuckleCon. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully,
right,
a lot of people show up.
You heard it here first. Thatch will be recording young children in Indianapolis. Bribing them with Pokemon cards.
That sounds right.
So, King Gumi, what have you been up to in Pokemon lately?
I've been practicing for the upcoming International Challenge, which is the Wi-Fi tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
So I've just been building a team for that.
Yeah, did you do the one in April as well, or?
Yeah, I did. I did terribly at that one. I started off really well, the first 10 matches. I was like 9-1,
ooh,
and then I ended up like 20-10. So it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't too bad, I suppose. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As for myself, I've been doing gym stuff, just like Gator. I was on Friday night as well, doing some gym battles. I don't know about anything else that I've been doing. I've been playing some Showdown, just fiddling around with stuff. I'm moving next week, so, like, I'm getting ready to, like, set up my studio, and I have, like, a lot of stuff planned, so only half of that's going to be done once I move in. But, you know, hopefully some more stuff will come out of it once I have, like, my own dedicated studio.
Sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like, ever since I started doing this show, like, 7 or 8 years ago, I never thought I was ever going to, like, dedicate an entire room to this in my entire life, but now that I'm moving and, like, we have this extra room, it's going to turn into, like, a studio space, and it's going to have everything I've ever wanted. Except I would like a new mic at some point, but...
That you can't find friends in an empty room.
thankfully, I don't stay in there all the time. But, yeah.
Everything you ever wanted, but so lonely.
But yeah, before we move on too far, though, we should definitely talk to our friend Gumi here. We have plenty of questions for you as our special guest, and we're going to put this in quotes, VGC expert.
VGC expert?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not even that good. I'm just very lucky.
You're just very lucky.
So the first thing we want to...
matter.
Let's... your self-proclaimed biography here. We're going to read it straight off of your Twitter. So the blushing should pursue. Top 4 at VGC Nationals UK 2014. Finalist at VGC Regionals Arnhem 2015. Programmer, VGC Master, Splatooner, Canadian.
Maybe I shouldn't have said expert. I should have said master. That's what I should have said.
Master's a much better description.
And he's being humble, and I assume that's because of the Canadian.
Yeah,
that's where the humbleness is coming from.
But you live in Ireland right now, right?
Yeah, so I just really started doing a lot of the VGC stuff after I moved over cross the ocean. I don't know. So the top four at UK 2014 is actually my first live event, and it went really, really well, obviously. So I've kind of been doing it ever since then. You know?
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How did you get started in Pokemon?
Like, I started as a kid.
Like everyone.
I was like 7 or 8, and I had a Game Boy, and I borrowed my friend's Pokemon Red, and he hardly ever played it, so I would, like, be borrowing it. We would swap games a lot, and I just remember, like, just playing through that thing over and over and over again, and eventually my mom got me Pokemon Yellow, which was the new thing when I actually wanted my own game. And I've gotten every generation. I skipped through the GBA era for lack of a GBA. And other than that, I've been a fan since, you know. I've grew up on it and always liked it.
Did you enjoy the third gen remakes since you didn't get to play those with GBA?
I did, yeah. They were good. Really well done. I like the whole story arc with, I played Alpha Sapphire, so with Kyogre and stuff. Yeah, it was good.
That's awesome. Not
bad. You said you recently started playing competitively, so how long has that been now that you started playing?
So I started online playing around 2013 in the Gen 5 metagame, but that was really casual. I just did a few things, a few tournaments hosted by various, I don't know, Twitter places and podcasts and whatnot. And after that, in 2014, since I knew I'd be trying to go to the Nationals, I really tried hard at building a really solid team. I copied part of a team that did really well in Singapore, which was like a Mega Venusaur team. And I kind of added my own stuff to it. I team built with a few friends and did well.
That's so, what you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, get together with some buddies and come up with some Pokemon strategies.
I mean, that's half the fun of it, right?
It really is.
Team building is a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people take that for granted.
Yeah, it's great coming up with new concepts and ideas and stuff.
Like, especially VGC, because it allows for so much creativity.
Oh, it really does. Not that OU doesn't, because I've played a bit, and it's still interesting, but it's like comparing apples to oranges. They're just two different things.
Exactly.
So can you tell us about when you made Nationals in the top four? How did that go? Just
some measure of excitement. Just bring us in the moment.
All right. Well, so round one, I played this. He is actually he was from South America somewhere, and he actually lived in the UK now. And he 4-0'd me, like game one. That was it. Like, I was like, oh man. All this hard work that I've been putting over for weeks, and he beat me with a pretty gimmicky Mega Pinsir team, and I was like, "Oh, well, all right, I'm just here for fun, anyways." And then the comeback started. I was 6-1, and then I lost to a really, really terrific Spanish player, who was actually 7th at Worlds last year, or 5th at Worlds, something like that. He was top 8. So I lost to him, and then when the Swiss rounds were done, they announced Top Cut, and I knew that I would be like on the verge of top 32 to make the Top Cut, but probably not. And it turned out that I was like 31st seed or something like that. It was, so I was really hyped then. My first top 32 opponent was Barry Anderson, who had been 9th in Worlds in 2013, so just the year before. And so I was really hyped to play him. He had no idea who I was. I was just some random guy who got lucky. And we had a really good set. The first round, I was running a Choice Scarf Garchomp, and he was not expecting a Choice Scarf Garchomp. No one was. It was my hidden tech that worked really well. So I beat him really easily in round one. Round two, he swept me. And round three, it was a really close game. But I burnt his Mega Tyranitar early, or something like that, and so I just got the edge up there. And so that was really, like, that was that moment there when I beat, like, an actual really good player who I knew. That was really hype. I kind of rode the wave till there, till top four, and then I lost to the Spanish guy who had beat me in Swiss. Oh, wow. It was really good as well, so, I mean, fair play. I was still super hype, you know?
Yeah, it was like, that's gotta be awesome, just to go in there expecting to have a casual day, ended up top four.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And I think a lot of people were really surprised, because no one absolutely knew me. Like, yeah.
That's the best part. That's the best part. I like the people that just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it is. It was really cool to be part of that story, mm-hmm. I suppose.
And I think, too, that, you know, it gives other people the idea that it's true, that it doesn't matter how much experience you have with Pokemon. Mm-hmm. If you dedicate the time and you put in the time and you play your team well, you can reach the top.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
There's no pay to play. You mm-hmm. learn.
Yeah, you learn to play, and, you know, you could be starting, and, you know, good players are coming a lot quicker now because the game's a lot more accessible as it used to be. But, you know, you could be in your first year of VGC or of any metagame, and you can just start doing well right away if you put in the time.
Oh, yeah, that's the magic of it, right? Because it starts, they do a new meta pretty much every year.
Yeah,
and VGC it's completely
does,
different.
Yeah.
It's yeah, just completely it's... different every year.
Yeah, it's always double battles, but it's always the different, like, decks and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, what teams have you seen come to the top of VGC meta game, I guess you'd call it, this year? What are you looking at?
So, the bigger teams that have come out, at least this year, well, Japan has gotten really popular with Sand.
Really?
It's this whole, the actual nickname of the team is just Japan Sand, where it's, a Mega Salamence team with Tyranitar and Excadrill. And it has a few other things as well, like Rotom Wash and Moongus. I forget what the last slot is, but it can vary. I think some people run Heatran there, but not everyone does. So that's a really common team. Common threats are, like, you know, the Landorus team, mm-hmm. Thundurus Incarnate, nicknamed the Genies. They're seen really commonly. Mega Kangaskhan. Oh, man. Mega Kangaskhan.
So I run a Mega Kangaskhan on my VGC team. Not gonna lie.
All three of these people that you've mentioned so far are my VGC team.
Because, I mean, well, they're the common things, right? That's what everyone's using. It's really the metagame. The solid teams are like that. The last few VGC events here, what won? Mega Charizard, Tailwind Mega Charizard won the German Nationals. Mega Kangaskhan team won the UK Nationals, and a Mega Kangaskhan team also won the Italian Nationals.
Wow.
So it's a pretty predominant mega. In my opinion, not really. There's not another mega that comes as close
mm-hmm.
to being as good.
Well, there were some shenanigans with a certain mega recently, the Parish Trap team.
Yeah, Wolf Glick's Trap team.
Oh, man. Wolf Glick's Parish Trap team. I really like that team, because it really shows how good of a team builder Wolf Glick is. Because he knows in his head, like, exactly how other people are going to try and play around it, and how what he has to do every game against every kind of team to go ahead and win that match. And Parish Trap is one of those, it often seen as a gimmick, but it's also one of those things that if you set up, there's not a good way to stop it.
For our non-competitive listeners, can you give, like, a brief rundown of Parish Trap? Because that's a Gengar team, correct?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, it's a Gengar team. So Mega Gengar's ability is Shadow Tag, and Shadow Tag prevents you from switching unless you have the ability Shadow Tag or you're a Ghost-type. And Mega Gengar also learns the move Parish Song, and what Parish Song does is when you start Parish Song, there's a three-turn counter that starts. And after those three turns, whoever's still on the field who heard the Parish Song when it started, faints. So the idea is to lead off with Mega Gengar and maybe Scrafty or something with Fake Out. You fake out one of the two threats on your opponent's side. You set up the Parish Song. You double protect the next turn, so that way you've already wasted a turn. The turn after, you might have a Gothitelle or something in the back. So you can switch that out into your other trapper, and so you've basically negated the parish trap effect on your side of the field. And then on the following turn afterwards, you double protect again. And you're essentially up 4-2 by that point. And then once you set up another parish song, 3 turns later, it's over and you win.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I lost to it myself at the UK Nationals this year. I did pretty terribly. I did make top cut. But I had no way of stopping it, and I really should have. But I was really hoping, you know, oh, it's just a gimmick. No one's going to run it, right?
Yeah, well, apparently
oops.
Not.
Oh, well.
So what teams have you liked to either you play yourself or that you like to play against in VGC? What are some of your favorites?
So I really liked I helped come up with one of the main Metagross cores this year. I ran it in Arnhem, where I got second place. And there are a few Americans who ran the same core. We never actually spoke about it to each other. We just kind of came up with the same things independently, and both had, you know, just the same success. It's Metagross and Hydreigon, because Mega Metagross and Hydreigon share really good defensive synergy.
Mm-hmm.
The only type that one is weak to that the other one doesn't resist is fighting. Hydreigon is weak to fighting, but Metagross doesn't resist it. Other than that, they cover each other's weaknesses perfectly.
Ooh.
So you put that on, you put a couple of genies on, Terrakion and a bulky water type, and the team synergizes really well together. And a lot of people have found that to work just really well. It actually came second in German Nationals as well.
Wow.
So that's been my favorite team so far this year, and at least the one that I've had the most experience with as well. As for what I like playing against or other teams that I've seen that are really interesting, I like Rain a lot as well. I think Rain teams are underestimated, especially with really strong megas like Mawile and stuff to really abuse it.
Not Mega Swampert?
No. Mega Swampert's not terrible, but Mawile's been one of my favorites. It was actually probably my favorite Mega last year. So I'm trying to make it work again, but I haven't really found a team that clicks just as well as whatever else I've been using.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, just because our community is always focused on learning and always getting new people into the game, what are some mistakes you see a lot of VGC players make that they could probably avoid if they want to get into the game?
Well, a lot of VGC players usually are people who start off from a singles background, because really, I mean, from the day one you pick up the game, you're taught to play singles, right? You go through the whole game, it's one-on-one thing. And so it's easy to fall into the trap of having a very singles-oriented mind. What word am I looking for? Mind frame? No.
Yeah, like a mindset.
Yeah, mindset. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Sorry. it's easy to fall into the trap where you're very single mindset, because you don't want to be running hazards, because that's just wasting a turn. It's not enough switching at all happens.
Definitely.
In doubles. The way you team build, you're not really looking to, have, a spinner and hazards and, specific walls or stall teams. Stall teams are a big no-no in VGC because we run off a timer. And at the end of 15 minutes in a live competition, the timer ends, and whoever has the most Pokemon wins. And there's a tiebreaker depending on how much HP you have left.
Uh-oh.
And so stall teams tend to lose really easily to that, because they're just not doing enough damage. They try and really go, and win in 20 turns or 30 turns, when really the normal VGC match lasts maybe 10 to 12. Other things, that players in general do that I disagree with, as trying to always use... Now, there's nothing wrong with using your favorite Pokemon. But
Seijun Park, for example.
Now, here's the thing, right? Yeah. And this is a great example. I'm glad you brought up Seijun Park. Is Pachirisu isn't Seijun Park's favorite Pokemon.
No.
He didn't use it because he loves it and it's, you know, Pachirisu, it's so cute and cuddly and everything. No, it's because it fit the role on his team that he needed it to fit. There was no other Pokemon that would have done better in the role that he needed, a follow-me supporter that could take earthquakes and Draco Meteors than little Pachirisu. So when you're thinking of just using your favorite, it's not really cool because you're not really letting a team... How can I say it? When you're trying to build a team, you want to try and build around cores. You want to try and start with something solid, like, all right, the genies have good synergy together. What can I add with those together? Okay, well, they're both weak to ice types, so maybe I'll put on a fighting type like Conkeldurr or Kangaskhan with low kick. That'll do. You know, something like that. But when you're just using, like, oh, I really like Sunflora. Okay, well, you can't really do much with Sunflora because it needs so much support to work. You need, you know, it's so slow that you might need to add Trick Room. You can only really use its solar power ability, so you also need sun, but then there are no sun setters that really work with the Trick Room. And you start getting into a team mess where nothing synergizes together, and you just have a bunch of random Pokemon that end up doing really poorly.
That does Which is not going to work when your opponent has a strategy in mind.
Exactly. Having a strategy in mind is always really important. But I'm sure that applies to singles metagame as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
And speaking of, what other formats do you like to play besides VGC? OU, NU?
I like to dabble in some OU a bit. I actually went to a live OU event last year where I ran a Mega Manectric team that my friend Scott Wave Bomber, I'm sure he's been read about on the show. Yeah, mm-hmm.
He won our UUTC, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, he helped me build the team for that, and I actually ended up winning that tournament, which is pretty cool. I haven't done any in ages, but it's usually kind of what I do. I like, in the off VGC season now, I like to, right after Worlds is over, you know, I kind of chill out from VGC and I'll dabble in a bit of OU. I haven't really ever really played any UU or NU or Little Cup or anything like that.
Little Cup is so much
careful.
Fun.
Oh my god, you set him off. The Puckle bingo game should have Little Cup as a square.
Is that a square on the Puckle bingo game?
Yes, because that's one of Thatch's triggers.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun though. I was so All sad. Right. I was going to compete in the event a couple weeks ago, and I just didn't get to do it.
All right, let's go ahead, and for the people playing at home, let's go ahead and check off Dummy Bear, and let's check off 4th Gen.
Wait, no, I didn't do 4th Gen yet. I haven't done 4th Gen yet.
Okay, well, wait, there's still time. There's plenty of episode left. So speaking of things you play in the off-season, how is Splatoon cut into your Pokemon time lately?
So much of my time, it just goes to Splatoon now. It's such a good game. I picked it up. On the release day, and I've just been addicted to it since. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I understand your pain. I've been doing that too. I picked up Splatoon, and I went insane and probably spent $200 on amiibos.
Oh man!
But I did get the triple pack with the girl squid, boy squid, and the regular squid.
Yeah.
So
I've been trying to get amiibos here, but there's actually like legit someone stole a truck of amiibos.
Yeah, we
in
heard about
the UK.
This. Yeah.
Wow.
And so, like, there are just no amiibos. There are no Inkling amiibos here.
There was, like, a heist. It was, like, planned.
Yeah.
It's, like, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I have no idea where they are now. Obviously, they're not around here, because even, like, on Amazon or, you know, eBay, you can't find them in Europe. So they're probably... And they're not region-locked, so they're probably, like, I don't know, North America or in Japan somewhere now. I don't know.
They're in the same Chinese markets that you can buy powdered rhino horn. They're just on the black market. So I heard you're looking for villager, huh?
I have just about all of them. I should be okay.
Yeah, Thatch and Dr. Shamu are prolific amiibo. I don't want to use the word hoarder.
It's not a hoarder. I'm not as bad as some of the other people that like buy two of them, one to play with, one to keep in the box.
Oh, I have a friend who does that.
Oh my gosh, I'm not that bad.
I have a few amiibos. I don't like hardcore collect them. I have Mario, DK, Kirby, and Toon Link. They're just characters in Nintendo Universe I like, but
that works. I mean, pick your favorites, just like Pokemon, except if you're playing VGC. Don't pick your favorites. Pick what's gonna win.
Yeah. All right, Kingumi, I got some fast answer questions for you. Don't think about them too hard.
Oh God.
I'm gonna go ahead and hit you up. Let's see. See how this goes. You ready? All right.
Ready.
Favorite Pokemon?
Gumi.
Favorite type?
Steel.
Favorite generation?
Two.
Favorite hold item?
Mega Stones?
That works. VGC or Smogon?
VGC.
Gator or Thatch?
Ooh. Kingumi.
Kingumi. Ah. No. That's fine.
How about Trainer Thatch?
I'm back.
You're back? Thatch, we could hear you.
I'm sorry. Some guy keeps calling me.
Thatch, nobody's calling you. That's the voices.
Somebody's calling me.
What are they calling you?
The voices are calling you.
I'm doing like this Craigslist deal. It's sketchy.
Okay, kid. Confirmed. Thatch is on Craigslist. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
All right. So we're good?
We're good. Okay. We have nailed all the questions. The answers have been gotten. If anybody has any more questions and you want to hit up Kingumi to talk to him, to say hi, say whatever, you can find him on Twitter. And I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, so I'm going to spell it for everybody.
All right.
At Kelster Cartier?
That's close enough. I used to be like a bit like, oh, you need to pronounce it, you know, the French way, but now I just don't care anymore because no one can.
Cartier?
Cartier is it's how you usually say it, but Kelster Cartier works as well.
All right, it's at KELLSTERCARTIER. Hit him up on the Twitter, follow him. He's always posting interesting stuff, and we'll go ahead and let Thatch throw us to the next segment.
Yeah, so let's cue the epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And on to the news. So, in the news, there's not much. It's been so dry.
There are 1,000 Pikachu coming to Japan, okay?
Are there? Tell me more about this. Tell me more about this.
So, apparently there's some sort of thing where there's Dancing Pikachu Horde that's coming to Yokohama.
Yeah.
And it's going to be glorious. I don't know anything else about it because I'm awkward with... Basically, I feel like it's one of those things where you can explain it by saying, Japan? But there are 1,000 Pikachu coming.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous.
Yokohama. What else do we have? We have the Mystery Dungeon announced for coming in this winter.
It's Super Mystery Dungeon because it can't be regular Mystery Dungeon. We've talked about this in previous episodes, but there has been some new information revealed, I guess. Not much other than there are all 720 Pokemon in it. Which is an improvement over Gates of Infinity. Gates of Infinity was just not good. And then you have the quiz returning to choose who you are, and then your partner as well. And you know, it seems very standard Mystery Dungeon, but if it has all the Pokemon in it, that sounds very interesting.
I mean, you should have all 720. It's a Pokemon game. Everybody has their own favorite.
Whoa.
Not everything is Charizard Pikachu.
No, it is. It is. Trust me. In the view of the Pokemon, in the Pokemon company's eyes, the only games that I think, like a lot of the spinoff games actually can include like all of the Pokemon, if you think about it.
I personally, whenever I think about them announcing a new Pokemon game with Pokemon included, I always think about Maractus. whoever thinks about Maractus. What if Maractus is your favorite Pokemon, but nobody remembers Maractus?
Nobody remembers Maractus because then nobody likes Maractus.
I'm just saying, it's not competitively viable, it's not anything, but it still deserves it. There's one person out there that listens to this show who likes Maractus.
There's actually a really good Maractus on Showdown's Random Battles. There's like a halfway decent Maractus on that.
So that's all I want. I want them to make sure they include Maractus.
If you're going to do this, include Maractus.
If you're gonna, it's like there's 720 of them. Everybody has a different favorite.
No, that's true. I agree.
Like the mid, what do they call it? The stage one evolution birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you have your Pidgeys and your Talos and everything?
Yeah.
Nobody likes Pidgeotto.
Whoa, that's a lie. Pidgeotto is really
back
cool.
Back off. Pidgeotto is my man. It's my bird.
Yeah. I'm with
okay,
I'm with
okay, Fletchinder.
Okay, Fletchinder is kind of cool, maybe.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
All right.
Skip those, get Maractus in there.
All right. So we can all talk about E3 and what happened earlier this past week. With
you guys want to talk about all the Pokemon news that came out?
All the Pokemon news that totally
didn't
happen.
Where they released, like, the Pokemon Z? That's confirmed.
Yeah, totally.
Gen 4 remakes? Everything confirmed. No, we got stiffening silence.
To be fair, they've never made a huge Pokemon announcement at E3 through like a Nintendo presentation at all.
Did they do Fairy types at one point?
So that's not a game reveal. They revealed that game 6 months before E3, and then we're at E3. Look, Fairy types in this game. I mean, they did the same thing last year for Auras. They just showed another trailer. And
yeah, but that trailer was cool. You had that kid climbing through the cave, and
yeah, but they didn't reveal the game there either. I think it has to do with Pokemon, the company, like, being, like, operating almost essentially as a separate entity from Nintendo. And they're gonna do the reveal on their own basis, which is fine, because if you look at, like, how the games were released, like, in Japan, because everybody's just like, Pokemon's a yearly release franchise, and it's like, no, it's not.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you guys. Do you think we're getting a Pokemon main series game this year?
No.
No. Of course not.
No, not at all.
I don't even think we're getting one till Christmas next year.
Ooh, that's bold. I could see October next year.
Okay. I could see October, but like, you know, late next year.
Yeah, late. Definitely second half of next year there's going to be a Pokemon game. That's when it's going to be.
King Gumi, what is your prediction record like?
Well, my prediction record, probably terrible.
Okay, because
mine's
because
awful.
If Thatch says it's not going to happen, that means they're going to announce it tomorrow.
Actually, I have a pretty good record now. On a show we used to be on, Liquor Bureau, we actually correctly predicted things like 3 weeks in a row about, like, I think it was about X and Y or about Auras, mm-hmm. like right before they were announced.
Literally every time I've done like a speculation episode. I did a speculation episode on Gold and Silver remakes. Literally, like, the week after I did that episode, they announced Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Oh, wow.
And then I did, more recently, a Ruby and Sapphire remakes speculation episode. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they announced Auras. Like, neither time did I deny that.
That's being wrong. Go to PucklePodcast.com.
Neither.
Where you can listen to all of our old episodes.
Neither of those times did I say that those games weren't going to happen. I just said that the evidence that people were giving for those games happening was dumb. That was all those episodes were about. Like, the Gold and Silver speculation, it got ridiculously dumb. People were just like, they were like, you know when you walk into the Pokemon Center in Diamond and Pearl and the Pokeball in the middle of the Pokemon Center is Gold and Silver? Yeah, we're getting Gold and Silver remakes. I'm just like, what? No. They just made it Gold and Silver.
I mean, if you search for, like, hashtag Hoenn confirmed, like, year ago today, it was bad, man.
It was
a bad time to be on the internet.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff that was just very small that people were using to, like, draw these conclusions. And that's what I did the episodes on, because I just thought they were hilarious that people were making, like, these very far-stretched conclusions. Actually, I was on Reddit the other, like, a week or two ago.
All right, kids, fill out your bingo card.
Wait, is Reddit on there?
Reference Reddit.
Is there a Reddit reference square?
Yep.
I don't do that often.
At least one every episode that how you were on Reddit.
I was on. Well, this is because now, this is now, one of the rare now instances.
Followed up with the crazy things you hear them say on there.
Okay, that's fair. this one was particularly dumb because what he did was he goes, there was a Pokemon release in 2013 and there was a Pokemon release in 2014. Therefore, there's going to be a Pokemon release in 2015. And I'm just like, you literally drew a line between two points and then extrapolated further, which is just like a huge no-no and like any prediction whatsoever. You know,
did Black and White 2 come out in 2012?
Yeah, it did actually. Yeah. But so the thing people like don't realize, I think, right now is that Pokemon is kind of like on a year and a half schedule when they release games. Because what happened is Black and White 2 came out in Japan like way before that. Because if you look at the Japanese release dates, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's more of a year and a half every time the games come out. Because a year and a half before X and Y, they got Black and White 2. And a year and a half before that, they got Black and White. But for us in the US, it looks like, oh, 2011, we got Black and White. 2012, we got Black and White 2. When, in fact, it was Japan got Black and White in 2010 and then didn't get Black and White 2 until 2012. And so it's a year and a half like cycle. We just got very spoiled because Auraz came out so quickly. And rightfully so, it's a remake. It's a direct remake.
Yeah, and it uses most of the same assets.
Yeah, there's not much that's different from the original Ruby and Sapphire. There are a few minor changes, but nothing big. Like, most of the text is the same and everything.
It's kind of like an X and Y plus as well. Like, it's it's almost the same thing, just a different map and new storyline and stuff.
I call it Gen 6.5.
Yeah.
It's got all of these new megas.
Yeah. It's not like the last remakes of Heart Gold, Soul Silver, which were, I'd say, a lot more different looking.
Definitely.
You know, the other Gen 4 games.
Mm-hmm. It added content to the original story, which this time it didn't really add too much content to.
Right.
So, what would you guys rather see from a main series game coming up? Would you rather see a Pokemon Z, where they then expand with what was happening in X and Y? Because there is confirmed game code for the Floette. There was the fact that the Zygarde story is unexplored. And there is that train that leaves off the edge of the map. Would you rather them see Pokemon Z, or would you rather see a 7th gen?
Oh, neither. next year is the 20th year anniversary of Pokemon. Like, let's make that straight. First of all, it's the 20th anniversary next year. If they blow that by going Gen 7, I will be so sad. I would like to see a Z version, because I feel like Kalos is a great region that should be revisited, and I love that music. I love it so much more than the Auraz music.
Get out of here. Go away.
I do. I like the X and Y music so much better. And, yeah, I'm sorry if that disappoints people.
it's so forgettable. The X Y music is so forgettable.
I love it. I
have to agree with Thatch.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It was so new and revitalizing to the series. And, you know, in Auraz, they went back to what they had before, which is fine. Like, it was a good remix of what it was before, but, you know, it's not the same as, you know, completely new music.
I'd rather see a Pokemon Z than...
Yeah, I would like to see a Z version. But what I would really like to see, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I think, but, like, a revisiting to Kanto in some form. Like, Red and Blue or something. Red and Blue 2 or Red and Blue... Whatever. I don't know. Remakes.
Super
don't
Fire
make remakes.
Red.
Don't
Ultra
please don't
Leaf
make.
Green.
I would hate to see like remakes of it again. But I know that's like what a lot of the fan base is talking about. But I'd like to see like a revisitation to Kanto, where you're not playing as Red or Blue, you're playing as completely new characters.
Maybe like in the sort of, you know how Gold and Silver takes place like 3 years after.
Mm-hmm.
Red and Blue, like maybe something similar like that, maybe a couple years after that, or
yeah, I think
maybe you could be playing and you're like playing as like Professor Oak, like before, you know, all everything Red and Blue.
There's actually a fan game like that. It's like called Pokemon Generation Zero or something.
Oh, really?
And you get to play as Professor Oak or Agatha.
I have to see that.
Yeah, and but I wouldn't want to see that. I'd like to revisit it, you know, a couple years after Gold and Silver, maybe. And maybe if they were generous, I don't want to say this has to be a must to the series, but I would really like to go to Johto and go through Johto, go Kanto first, then through Johto. And I think that would be a great, revisiting to the series.
I still want to go through all the regions.
Yeah, that's never going to happen, and that's an unrealistic expectation.
Whatever, you said Gen 3 never going to happen.
No, I did not say it was never going to happen. I just said it was
dumb. You said
dumb.
You were never going to give it up, never let it down, run around, or deserve it.
But yeah, I think the final thing we should talk about here is the Summer League is still currently going on. We're ending the new segment in 45 minutes today. But the Summer League at PucklePodcast.com is still going on, so you can come earn your gym badges. I'll be there Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Misty's right after me. Gator, when's your gym time?
I am on Thursdays from 8 to 10. All times are Eastern. If you want to find the times on the when you're going to be there, you go to PucklePodcast.com/SummerLeague. Should get you there.
Better yet, follow us on Twitter. Gator said the sweet thing where it reminds you who's on when.
Yeah. And if you want to see what gyms are going, you can go to PucklePodcast.com/gyms. And they'll have all the times there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have Revenate on Sundays 2 to 4, which he should be going right now, actually.
Yeah.
Starting soon. We have several different gyms going. His is the Ice Gym. Tonight you can – well, you're not going to be able to because you're listening to this tomorrow. from 9 to 11 on Sundays you have Shamu and his Bug Gym. 10 to 12 you have Scrawn and the Poison Gym. Today, Monday, because we're not breaking the fourth wall and recording this on a Sunday, you can hear Thatch. You can come and fight him between 6 and 8 at the Water Gym. Misty's right after from 8 to 10 in the Dark Gym. Mr. Maximus would love to fight you Tuesday nights 8 to 10 with his Ghost Gym. It's pretty scary. Super scary, spooky. Wednesday nights, 10 to 12, Lightlink 5000 has his Electric Gym going. Thursday nights, 8 to 10, Gator Maximus 13. That's me, running a dragon gym. Friday, we have two gyms on Friday. We have 7 to 9 with Justin or DH Bomb, Dank Hank Bomb.
Yeah.
Running a fairy gym, which is particularly nasty. Bring your best for that. And 8 to 10, Viger is running his steel gym. All of these gyms have the ability to give you badges. You'll only need 8 badges to compete in the tournament at the end of the summer. Please come out. We're having a good time. If there's nobody else in line, you can challenge us again. Mm-hmm. There's plenty to do. We're all ready and pumped. And this is the perfect opportunity for you to get into competitive battling. You cannot find a better way to get into competitive battling than this.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Definitely. Please do. It's a good time. And it's like Gator said, it's a great way to start getting into competitive battling. It's we sit down with you afterwards and we tell you what you might need to tune up on if you've lost to us, and we'll even help you out with it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, we'll give you EVs, IV spreads. There's so much information out there that can be overwhelming for somebody just getting into competitive. Puckle is a great place to come and start getting your toes wet. We can help you throw together a team on Showdown and fight you there before you build it in person.
Yep.
We have 6 IV Dittos in case you need something to start breeding with. If there's a certain Pokemon you need that you can't get, come and ask. We can help get you. This community is for the people in it.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
one of our favorite things to do is to help everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So come on out, enjoy it. And if you don't come see me on Thursdays, I'm going to weep. Copious
we'll
amounts
record
of tears.
It for you.
Yeah, they will be recorded. That will be on the YouTube. And I will deliver that, unlike Thatch.
What are we talking about? What are we recording?
Yeah, you and your inability to record me weeping.
All right.
So,
yeah,
come
definitely.
On out. I'll be the next water trainer with all my tears if you don't come out.
So we are going to skip the topic today since we've had Kelly on today. Or not, oops, Gumi on today.
You broke the fourth wall, Thatch.
Boof.
it's okay. I go by Kelly everywhere else.
Yeah,
I think
it's
people
fine.
Probably know me more.
This is an underground fighting club.
But yeah, we're going to skip the topic today since his interview was essentially our topic. And we are going to go ahead and we're going to give you a lot of commercials and then some Poke of the Episode music afterwards. So stay on and don't hit pause or something. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey everyone,
it's Viger.
And I'm here to tell you that you should check out all the cool features that Puckle has. Puckle Podcast has a chat box where you can chat with me, fellow co-hosts, and other members of this wonderful community. We also have forums and even tournaments to participate in. You can follow us on social media such as Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, and Reddit. You can be part of the show by sending us an email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Every show has about 20 minutes of emails, and we appreciate hearing from you. So check out everything Puckle has to offer.
Hi, this is Sarge of Sarge's Pokemon Super Center. And because I placed our order and hit a 7 instead of a 4, we are currently horribly overstocked in all of our TMs. Earthquake, Roar, Attract, Blizzard, Earthquake, Thunderbolt, all of them. You come on down, you get it, and tell you what, I will give you a special deal. If you buy 2 Earthquakes, you get a Thunderbolt free. So just remember, come on down to Sarge's Pokemon Superstore and check out the savings for yourself.
Poke of the Episode. And welcome back. Our Pokemon of the Episode today is National Dex 706, Goodra, the Dragon Pokemon. That classification is very unoriginal.
This very friendly Dragon-type Pokemon will hug its beloved trainer, leaving that trainer covered in sticky slime.
Ooh. Yeah, which is like it's the basis for its ability, Gooey, which is actually really cool because it lowers its speed if you do like a physical hit.
Yeah, any contact move.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really really think it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's Gooey. It's the only thing that gets Gooey, right?
Let me double check. So. But yes, you were right.
Yeah, well, aside from Goomy and
yeah, of course
that evolutionary line.
Yeah.
But no, I believe it is OU still. It might be UU.
I see sets for it in UU.
Okay.
So
it might have dropped to UU. It was OU for a while. But you know what? Goodra's actually like a decent Pokemon.
It's a pseudo-legendary. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, do they use it in BGC?
You don't see it very often.
I didn't think
but,
so.
It's got a niche. Its base special defense is really high enough for it to be viable. The only like thing that I think is a shame with Goodra is that its attack and its special attack are both so high that it feels like you're wasting one of the stats whenever you build one.
Yeah, it's I really like the assault vest set personally, like in OU. I don't know about anything else, but for OU, because you can capitalize on that special defense stat it has, and it's got a decent special attack, so you can back that up with the assault vest.
Yeah.
And you can bulk it up with HP, and it's super defensive. You can give it I think the way I would do it is probably Draco Meteor. I like the risk-reward system. And maybe Flamethrower.
I'd go Fire Blast if you're going to play risk-reward.
No. Flamethrower. I'm going to go back on exactly what I said. Sludge Bomb or Sludge Wave? That's a personal choice.
Sludge Bomb, because, well, I don't know, from at least in a double standpoint, Sludge Wave will also hit your ally.
Yeah, that's true in doubles, but Sludge Wave, at least in OU, has I believe a higher it has a slightly higher power.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Lowers the chance of you to poison your enemies, but it gives you slightly higher power.
And then, you know, it doesn't really hurt to run like an Earthquake on it, because it is a mixed attacker.
Ooh, that's true. You can make it mixed, because its attack is actually decent as well.
It's really strong.
Mm-hmm.
I personally run a Goodra, and
I
run mine is a stalling special defensive nightmare. The way mine works is it holds a Damp Rock and has the ability...
Hydration,
which cures status abilities.
Oh, yes.
So what happens is I get the rain set up. It goes out. It runs Thunder. So hitting somebody with 100% accuracy Thunder, whenever it's status, the rain cures it. And whenever I'm starting to get low on HP, I hit Rest. The rain with Hydration removes the sleep. and I'm good to go again.
Yeah, and you can run really interesting stally sets like that, because it also gets access to infestation.
Yes.
So yeah, you can trap it in, like, toxic it, trap it in there, and especially if you switched in onto something and now you're, like, just faster than another thing, so you can infestation right away. Because I don't think many people, I don't know, at least in VGC, infestation isn't this really common thing to see on Gudra.
Not on Gudra, yeah. That's actually interesting. I forgot that it had access to infestation.
It's such a bulky Pokemon that it can work, point. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a very Shuckle-ish strategy.
Yeah.
Well, I like
that's the only other thing that uses it.
Yeah.
It's like the only pseudo-legendary that's a pure Dragon-type, but all of its moves are based around water. Mm-hmm. All, like, the abilities.
Yeah.
I mean, Gooey's kind of Sap Sipper. Thing. Sap Sipper and Hydration. And then it's the only Pokemon that I can think of that has to evolve in the rain.
Oh, it is. It is the only Pokemon.
And it can't just be, like, manual rain. It has to be in-game actually raining.
Mm-hmm.
Level 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to some TCG now. There are 3 Gudra cards. Only 2 of them are current until Bandit Ring gets its US release. But first of all, it's a dragon type card, so it requires like multiple types of energies, which kind of sucks. There's a Gudra and Flash Fire who takes a Water Fairy and Colorless Energy to do Heavy Whip, which is 80 plus 40 if you flip a heads or something like that. So many coin flips in the Pokemon TCG.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think it'd be... First of all, I just wouldn't run dragon types in the TCG, personally. Just because it requires 2 energies, and most decks now are running single energy. You can't get, like, those special cases where you're running something slightly different.
I have this card.
Oh,
someone
do you?
Gave it to me. Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
Before we started this segment, we were talking about the Gudra from the Phantom Forces set, which takes a Water Fairy and then 2 colorless energies for 130 to do Dragon Pulse. But then you have to discard the top card of your deck. I know there are some strategies that do center around like putting cards in your discard pile, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know.
It is like 4 energy to do
it. It's 4 energy to do it. Yeah. It's a hard-hitting attack, though. 130 does do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
I will say that. I don't like the fairy weakness on it either. Fairy is a popular deck type as well, and it's just so weird. I don't know. I just can't get over how I wouldn't run this.
Yeah, the other Gudra seems a lot more viable, at least.
The Bandit Ring one is a little bit more viable, because it's the same energies for the Dragon Breath, and this time you don't have to discard a card, and instead you get good things to happen. Like, you can't be affected by special conditions the next turn, which is a big deal. That's actually really nice. It also has another attack for 2 colorless, which is choose one of your opponent's Pokemon. This attack does 20 damage for each energy in that Pokemon's retreat cost, which could be good for dealing damage to, like, EXs and stuff.
Cool.
But, I mean, there's not that much going on. If you want to know more about Gudra, I'm sure somebody on the website has written about it, either Sublime or Scrawn. So check that out at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. I do not think Jushiro has gone over these cards yet, either. So keep an eye out for that. So... That's the Pokemon of the episode. We're going to flip over to the mailbag from here.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails! The mail's here! Check your inbox! It's time for the mailbag! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And as always, every week, Green Tauros sponsors a badge that we give away to an email we think is worthy of it. So let's dig into the email. Our mailbag question last week was, what do you guys think about real-life competitions and... Do you have any questions for them about them? So let's dig right in. Our first email this week is from Elroy Prepson. What's good, Puckle? Recently restarted playing Pokemon again, and wanted to hear a podcast discussion on it, and found you guys. My playing list consists of Yellow, Stadium, Silver, Red, Black 2. That's just like a huge jump.
Yeah.
Just like, Gens 1, 2, 5. I really enjoy the games, and want to keep playing the newer ones. As I listened to an older episode, I was wondering if you guys ever had this question. If you, as a trainer, can have one Pokemon for the 6 generations, which would you carry and why? Hope to hear from you soon. Your boy, Elroy. Oh, man, let's think about that.
No question asked. Goomy.
Well, that's one, right? You get one for every generation.
Oh.
You get one Pokemon from every generation.
I'm going to sound like a fanboy, but first gen, Charizard.
You are a fanboy. Okay, keep going.
Second gen, it's probably Mischievous.
Mischievous is really cool, actually.
I like Mischievous. I think it's neat. Third gen is going to be Salamence. Actually, no, let me take second gen back. Tyranitar.
Okay, fair.
Charizard, Tyranitar, Salamence. Fourth gen, I always struggle with because I was never a fourth gen player.
You could go Miss Magius.
I could. That's a cop out though. probably do what's his face? The Gastrodon.
Okay.
I like Gastrodon. Fifth gen is fun because that one was like, all right, guys, we're going to go crazy with these Pokemon. Are you guys ready for this? Can you handle all these different weird guys? So I'll probably go fifth gen on as a shout out to one of our dear faithful listeners, I'll go Fluffiest Whimsicott. I'll take Whimsicott for fifth gen. And then sixth gen, no questions asked, Aegislash.
Ooh. Okay, so I would do Dragonite first gen. I would then do Feraligatr second gen. Because that's obligatory. Third gen? Oh man, that's a hard choice. Third gen, I would have to say somebody like maybe Manectric.
Ooh. Not bad, not bad.
Like if I'm thinking about Pokemon that I remember from third gen. Manectric. I'm going Manectric.
None of the Regis?
No, not really. I mean, I remember them, but I don't know that I would ever use them and carry them around. I mean, if I was thinking about favorites, I'd probably go Manectric. Yeah. And then 4th gen, Electivire, hands down. 5th gen had a lot of somewhat good Pokemon in it. I would have to... I honestly I want to be like really weird and say like Pansage or Semisage. And then 6th gen, oh man, I had a lot of fun with 6th gen. Let's see. My favorite 6th gen Pokemon would have to be that I would carry around and take with me everywhere. I want to say Froakie, but I already said Feraligatr. I don't want to do like too many starters. I'd have to say like, oh man. This is such a hard thing to do.
Talonflame!
No, not Talonflame. Absolutely not. Absolutely not Talonflame. Maybe
Furfrow.
You keep making all of these horrible suggestions. Oh man, there's so many people. There's only like 70, but in
Mewtwo.
Mewtwo's first gen.
Mewtwo's in a cave in sixth gen. I don't.
Yeah, but
hear.
he's a first gen Pokemon.
You're a first gen.
Oh man, were there any good dark types or anything? I imagine there were. Who did I play through with? I feel like I played through with like a bunch of old Pokemon.
In 6th gen, there's like Pangoro.
Oh, that's it. Pangoro. Done. What about you, Goomy?
Alright, so Gen 1, I'd pick Amistar, because then I'd just have like a flock of people following me.
Yeah. It's true.
Gen 2, I would pick, I'd pick like Scizor. Scizor's really cool.
Scizor's really cool. He's a close second for Feraligatr.
I don't know. I don't have much to do with Scizor anymore.
Gen 3 is a tough one. Because I didn't play through it the first time.
Yeah, right?
But I really like riding on Latias in game. So I'm going to pick Latias. Gen 4, I've always been a fan of the Luxray line, so Luxray.
That's true. I was thinking Luxray as well, but Electivire is like right here in my heart.
Gen 5 is actually really difficult as well.
You don't want to go Garchomp?
Gen 5.
Gen 5's not Garchomp.
I like how all his suggestions just aren't from the right generation. I'm going to go with Golurk.
Ooh, good choice. Ooh, yeah. That's a good choice.
Golurk would be cool.
I forgot about Golurk.
And then I would have my trusty Goomy.
Of course.
Goomy. OP.
Gen 6.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Elroy Prepson. You got this next one, Gator.
Okay, this is from Andrew. Hey, guys, it's Andrew. Remember your lovable mailbag winner from 2 weeks ago? No? Okay. Anyways, I was super excited to see that you'd be discussing my suggested topic of dual-type Pokemon that don't exist yet. So excited, in fact, that I forgot to write in last week. Oh well. I really enjoyed the discussion y'all had about it, and I wanted to chime in with my own thoughts. First off, can we stop burning all these good type pairings on legendaries that no one can use? Celebi, Volcanion, Zekrom, Dialga, Oopa, Jirachi, Heatran, the list goes on and on. Anyways, I always thought it was weird how few dual-type combinations there are for psychic and electric types. Delphox was long overdue, but we still have a long way to go for those two overlooked types. My favorite type, Bug, actually got a lot of love in Gen 5, but there's some room for growth for them as well. As for this week's mailbag, I don't really have anything to contribute as I've never played in tournaments before, so I guess that's all I have for you today. Flips and flops, Andrew.
Ooh, he gave some suggested topics as well. I'll have to take a look at those.
Yep.
All right. So, one more that we got, and it's from Deroxys. You face Deroxys, Congested Lord, or Sniffling of the Sniffling Legion, I believe was meant to be written. I'll skip to the part where I go on about how I'm writing this really late and I have a cold, and just go straight to the mailbag. I really don't have any tournament experience at all, sadly. I can hardly get my friends to battle me, much less find somewhere to participate in an actual event. But the internet exists unrestrained now, and so does Showdown. So I haven't participated in online tournaments. Actually, speaking of that, like, I know in the US, like, it requires play points to, like, get into nationals. Do they have that similarly, like, in the UK?
No, you can just show up and really? Be there. Yeah.
It's a very minimal requirement, granted. It's just, like, you have to, like, go to your Pokemon League, like, for 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, I know. We have, like, different systems, so it's a little dumb.
Yeah.
But, then again, like, we have a lot more spread out events everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like,
They're starting to do more spread out events here.
Yeah.
They're doing, like, premier challenges here and stuff.
Oh, yeah, we started that this year. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of areas that just don't, like, Spain didn't get a single Premier Challenge last year, and yet they have, you know, some of the highest skill player base.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know now it's possible to get the required amount of play points by just playing in online competitions.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to know if the same thing was, like, awesome for you, but probably not. I guess you do get championship points if you place well enough in the International Challenge.
That's yeah.
That's something. Oh, well. Either way.
It's something.
However, I intend to change all that this year or next year. I've recently had a revelation that since breeding and creating perfect Pokemon on cartridges is one of my favorite things to do in the game, why should I play on Smogon simulators when I have perfectly good Pokemon DS? So I've been immersing myself deeply in the VGC and have been loving it. The doubles format lends itself wonderfully to being able to create an environment where innovation with many different viable Pokemon is possible, despite the presence of powerhouses like Megacon and Aegislash. After I finish writing this email, I'm going to sign up for the June International and see if my scrappy little team can't learn a thing or two from it. My question for you guys is, if you've done any VGC tournament events, what are your favorite VGC mons and strategies to use? Are you Trick Room aficionados, or perhaps sleazy Parish Trap fiends? I like to pack a whole bunch of strong redirection and set up for a Salamence suite personally. Off to go finally train up a Rapid Spinner, Deroxys. So, actually, the only person that doesn't have the mailbag badge is Josh, I just realized. So, or not Josh, but Elroy Prepson. My bad. But yeah, I mean, we've heard plenty from Kelly, or gosh dang. Gumi. I'm so
it's
good at
King
this.
King Gumi to you, peasant.
King Gumi. I'm a peasant. I'm merely a podcaster. I mean, as for me, I've been running like the very basic like Mega Con setup. I don't know. It's just very straightforward to me, and it makes sense. And like, I've seen plenty of creative strategies, and if I had more time to delve further into VGC, I probably would explore them. Like, I really like the ideas of Prankster Whimsicott.
Oh yeah, that's actually really good.
Yeah, it's really good. I wanted to try that out. I just haven't had time to. And there's just I mean maybe set up my own Parish Trap team and see what I could do. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I wish I had more time, but I can either do like single battle or double battles right now. And I try to spread myself out so like as a podcast host I can talk about everything to some extent. And so I never can become good at anything. Except Little Cup. I'm pretty good
Jack
at Little
of
Cup.
All trades. Master of none.
Yeah, exactly. I know how to like I know enough to be able to like have an intelligent conversation. And that's about it. But yeah, I don't know. So that's it for the mailbag this week. I do not think that Elroy Prepson deserves a mailbag badge this week. Maybe next time, Elroy.
I like that. I don't know who the last guy was.
Deroxys, they actually won, I believe, not too long ago. I might be wrong, and they'll send me an angry email. Let me double check. Let me double check before I make such a bold claim. Because they could very well just send me a very angry email. Like,
Dearest Thatch,
you forgot to give me the mailbag badge when I should have earned it.
Hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Your friend.
Your friend, Deroxys. Maybe I did not. I could be very wrong. I mean, yeah, if you want to give it to Deroxys, I'm all for that. Apparently, I did not give it to him.
Deroxys a badge.
Deroxys, you've won the mailbag badge. Go ahead and submit for it, and it's all yours. As for next week, our mailbag question is going to be about glitches. Do you have any favorite Pokemon-based glitches you want to talk about? Missing No? Any experiences with glitches?
I love the Missing No glitch.
Yeah, this is what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to do a list of like glitches and talk about them. So send those in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Before I keep going, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Tumblr, subscribe to our subreddit. Gator, what else am I forgetting? Nothing? I don't know.
Subscribe
to the podcast if you haven't already. That's a
good
point. Yeah,
you can rate us on iTunes, rate us on anywhere you listen to us.
Rate us on Stitcher.
Like anytime Thatch is giving you these plugs, it's because we're trying to get more people into the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow us there, you'll get more information about the show. It's not for us to spam you. It's for us to give you information to help you get more involved with the community.
Yeah, and
by rating the podcast and sharing the podcast with your friends, you'll have more people in the community. I talked to two people just yesterday about getting involved with the community.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to be in competitive battling. We're fun. We're open to new people. Everybody's welcome here. And we just want to see this community grow. We don't spend our time doing this for anything besides to have people to play Pokemon with.
Yeah, not to mention any money that is ever donated to the podcast does not ever go into my pockets.
100% of dollars go to the podcast.
It goes right back in. Like
I've donated money. I've seen where it goes.
Yeah.
It's for everybody.
I'm gonna try to work on a system to make it a little bit more transparent, but I guarantee you that I see $0 of what goes in the Puckle, or what's donated to the Puckle. I put literally all of it back into it.
Thatch has probably spent more money on Puckle than coming to Puckle.
That is 100% true.
I mean, coming from like another podcast background, it's not cheap. You know, you do need to spend a lot of money and a lot of time just to.
Yeah,
to get everything set up and done.
And the donations help run the site and stuff. And I'm looking into, because we are having some slowdowns on the site currently, due to just a few things. We're getting a little big for what we're in. And I'll get some numbers for you guys later this month, or later in July. But I would like to upgrade our server to, it's not going to be a dedicated server, it's going to be a virtually dedicated server. So it pretends to be like a dedicated server, but it's not.
Right.
Right now we're on shared hosting, and if we go to this dedicated server, we can increase our website response times and everything, and if we can add some more things to the site, because I was talking to Scrawn about this as well. We hope it would be interesting, so we'll get you some numbers on that. But yeah, if you donate to the podcast, it definitely goes back in there. If anything, it goes to like t-shirts or prizes or something cool.
I mean, and I tell you what, if you donate $1,000, I will personally organize a coup in the council and oust Thatch. We will literally get rid of Thatch.
If I don't you know that's a good
$1,000 and ask us to get rid of Thatch. And then the next week you'll have our new co-host Trainer Hatch, and it'll be great.
All right, but yeah, definitely like check us out on social media. Do all these things. Help us grow. Help us make Puckle something awesome, because it's you guys that do it, not me.
And don't forget to hit up King Gumi on Twitter too. Check
definitely.
Him out.
Yeah,
we do have to thank Gumi for coming on the show and deciding to spread his knowledge to us and listen to me work out of the Craigslist sale.
And thanks for having
me. If you like what he did, you know, let him know. He might want to come back if he gets a good enough response.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't driven him away.
No, no way.
No, guys, never.
Never. All right. So I guess until next time, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Gator. Keep
going. And here at the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.